Good morning. How are y'all today? All right. Good. A little wet? Yes. Well, we're glad you're here today, and I'm excited to continue with this message today. Last week, if you were here, we continued this idea of what Todd started 3 weeks ago on, Lord, I need you. And last week, we talked about how there's a difference between knowing you need something and actually believing you need something. And how when you believe you need something, it actually affects your life. It affects the things you do. And so if you believe you need God, in turn, what you begin to do is what? You begin to seek God. And so that was all of what we talked about last week. And we talked about how when you seek God, what happens? You begin to what? You begin to look like God. And that was his plan for your life and my life. To live on this earth, look like him, and show people who he is. And that comes from seeking after him. Now, today what we're going to talk about, we're going to continue with this idea of seeking God. But we're actually going to talk about the dangers of seeking God. And you may say, well, how is seeking God dangerous? I thought you said it was a good thing. I thought you told me to seek God, and now you're telling me it's going to be dangerous. What are we talking about here? Well, here's the deal. Not everything in life that's dangerous is bad, right? Actually, most good things in life are a little dangerous. When it comes to exercise, it can be dangerous, right? I read that 50,000 people a year are hospitalized because of exercising. Something's probably being done wrong in that scenario, but it happens. When you try to do something good, sometimes you get hurt. Sometimes it's dangerous. When having kids, that's dangerous, right? Yeah, amen. Anybody with the kids, like, it's the most dangerous thing I've ever done. It's hard. It's not easy. And then just think about relationships in general. They're a little dangerous, aren't they? Anytime you enter into a relationship with someone and give of yourself a little bit and have to trust someone else, it's a little dangerous. All good things in life are dangerous, and your relationship with God is no different. It's a little dangerous. It requires a little risk. But it doesn't make it bad, does it? See, here's why I believe seeking God is dangerous, and it'll come on the screen. Because seeking God, it equals this. It equals obedience. If you seek after God, eventually you are going to have to be obedient. Eventually, God is going to put something in your life, show you something that you must do. And for many people, this is why they stop seeking God. Seeking God ends here because I don't want to do that. I don't want to give of that. And what makes this dangerous is because seeking God equals obedience, but obedience, it equals absolutely anything. Obedience could equal absolutely anything. There is no guarantee to where your obedience will lead you. And that's scary. That's not easy. That's difficult. And that is why I say this, that seeking God is not for the weak in faith. To really seek after God, it is not for those who are casually doing Christianity. And so if you're here and that's you, and you're going, well, I'm just here. I didn't ask for this. Well, just take a nap because you're not going to like today. Because I truly believe to follow after God, you have to sacrifice who you are and replace it with who he is. And so that's what today's about. Today is about what it costs, what happens when you say, you know what, God? I know, I don't just know I need you, I believe I need you, and I'm going to seek you with all I have and wherever that leads me, so what? And see, we see that in the life of Daniel. We see that that's exactly what Daniel did. I mean, think about it. Where did his obedience lead him? A lion's den. Thanks a lot, Jesus. I obeyed you, and now there is a lion staring me in the face. See, when I say that seeking equals obedience and obedience equals question mark, the reality is if you're saying, well, if I obey God today, if I do what God's telling me to do, where's it going to lead me? I can't tell you. But there are two things that I can almost guarantee you, and so they're going to come on the screen, two things that you can almost always expect when you obey God, and we see them in the life of Daniel. Number one is this: not everyone is going to support you. And we see it in verse 4 of Daniel's. Then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs. But they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. See, Daniel's seeking God. Daniel's doing exactly what God wants him to do. Wouldn't you expect everyone to support him and love him? Did everyone support and love Jesus when he lived on this earth? Not a chance. When you choose to obey God, people are not always going to like you. And I actually would tell you that if everyone in your life is so happy with everything you're doing, you're probably not doing something right. Because when we begin to look like God, it makes those who don't uncomfortable. Now, I'm not saying that everything in your life no one should agree with. I'm not saying that there shouldn't be, that the people that you trust and the people you know are walking with the Lord and are wise, and if they're looking at your life going, you're missing something, I'm not saying don't listen. But what I'm saying is you can't seek God and obey him if you need everyone's approval in your life. If you need everyone to pat you on the back and stand up and clap every time you do something, because you're just not going to get it. Daniel didn't get it, and you won't get it. People will not always agree. Why? Because Scripture says that God's understanding is not ours, and it just doesn't make sense sometimes. So to obey God, we have to be okay with not everyone being on board. So here's the second thing that you can almost guarantee is going to happen when you obey, and it's uncertainty. Not everything about what you're about to do is going to make sense. And we see it in Daniel's story, and I want to read his story because most of you have heard Daniel in the lion's den, but just to catch us all up, last week we did 1 through 11. Now let's pick up 12 through 17. And here's what it says. So they went straight to the king and reminded him about his law. Did you not sign a law for the next 30 days? Any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. Yes, the king replied. That decision stands. It's an official law to the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. When they told the king that a man, Daniel, one of the captives from Judah, is ignoring you and your law, he still prays to his God 3 times a day. Well, hearing this, the king was deeply troubled, and he tried to think of a way to save Daniel. He spent the rest of the days looking for a way to get Daniel out of this predicament. In the evening, the men went together to the king and said, "Your Majesty, you know that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no law that the king signs can be changed." So at last, the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested and thrown into the den of lions. The king said to him, "May your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed the stone with his own royal seal and the seals of his nobles so that no one could rescue Daniel. Daniel sought God. Last week we said that nothing could keep him from seeking God, not even persecution. And his obedience led to an incredible amount of uncertainty. See, it's easy on our side to go, so what? God told the lions, he shut the mouths. And Daniel knew the God he served, and Daniel knew how incredible he was. But he knew he didn't control him either. And he knew God was God, and he would do exactly what he needed to do in that moment. And there was no guarantee for Daniel that those lions were going to shut their mouths. Maybe there is. Maybe somewhere an angel or something or a guard said, "You'll be all right." Give him a wink. Maybe he heard something, but we don't know that. The best I understand, Daniel had to face that moment, be obedient with an incredible amount of uncertainty staring him in the face. See, it's easy to say, "Oh, I'll seek you, God. I love you, God." Until we have to be obedient, and that obedience leads to people not supporting us, to people telling us we're crazy, to people looking at us saying, what is wrong with you? See, it's easy to seek God and be obedient until that obedience leads to uncertainty, to not having a clue of what's next, to not even understanding why. And see, when I read Daniel's story, no one in this room would say that Daniel's story is not a success. But the reason I believe Daniel's story is success may not be the reason you believe it's success. Because it's as amazing as it is that God saved him and that God showed everyone in that land and that kingdom how powerful he was by doing it. That's great, but that doesn't make it a success to me. It doesn't even make it a success that the king at the end turns away his decree and turns a new one that you'll worship only Daniel's God. That's amazing. But I don't believe that's what makes it a success. See, what I believe makes Daniel's story a success is that he chose obedience over the results. He chose obedience over the results. He said, God, you say so, I'll do it. Does it make sense? No. Do people got my back? Not really. But you say so, I'll do it. That's what makes this story a success. And I believe that is what will make your story a success. When you say, God, I want you more than I want the results. And the question I have for you today is, why would you even seek God? Just think for a second, why seek God? I know the first thing is, oh, because it's a good thing, or you may have all these reasons, but just for a minute, I just want you to take this moment to ask yourself, why do I seek God, or why would I seek God? You may be seeking him with all your heart right now, and I want you to answer, why? And you may say, well, I need to, and I want to answer why. Because as I was thinking about this, and something God has constantly reminded me of lately, is if my answer to why is anything other than him, I'm not ready for the journey he's taking me on. I'm not ready for what seeking is going to bring me. If your desire to know God is for any other reason than him, than just to have him, just to experience him, just to know him, I promise you, you will be left disappointed in this journey. Because when you look at Scripture, he makes a lot of promises, but almost always, for our obedience, what is the reward? Him. We will know him. We will experience him. We will have a relationship with him. If that's not enough to you, don't go on this journey. Don't seek him, because you will be left greatly disappointed. So as we kind of come to the middle of this message, because I really see today is about a two-part message put into one. And so as we come to this first part of the message, and then we will pick up to the second part, and this will make sense more in a minute, I do have a question for you, and it's basically what I just said, but I want this to be the question that you leave in your mind and that you ask yourself and that you kind of wrestle with as we go to the next part of today. And here it is. If your only reward for obeying God were God, would that be enough? Would it be enough if your only reward for obedience was that you would know him more, that you would have him more, that you would experience him more? If in your obedience, God said, listen, I need you to do this for me. I need you to step out. But when you do it, you're going to lose everything. When you do it, nobody's going to like you. When you do it, you're going to even lose your family. You're going to lose your money, and you're going to lose everything that you found your identity in. You're losing it all. But he said, but, I know that sounds bad, but I will give you every bit of who I am. You will know me more than you've ever known me. I will overwhelm you with my presence, and you will never know me the way you would if you obey. Are you in? I know that's heavy. And I know that's not an easy answer. And I would say, don't just jump in and say yes, because that's a big yes. But ultimately, when God calls us to obey him, we may not lose it all. But I believe what he's saying is, if we do, would it be enough if all we were left with is him? And so as we pick up and we go to the next part of today, let that be what's wrestling in your mind. Let that be the question on your heart, because that question, am I enough? If all you have is me, would you still follow me? That question has been in my heart and my mind in a way that I can't even explain to you. And it has been a question that I have wrestled with and not always liked the answer to. And so for the next few minutes, I just want to take you along my journey and share with you my story of what it's cost me and what it looks like to actually seek God in my life. And where that starts for me is really about a year ago, getting to this place of just feeling like, God, I love you. I work in a church. I have a relationship with you, but something's missing. I just want to know you more. I just want to get to know you better. I want to seek you more. And I'll be honest, I don't know if I actually knew what I was asking for in that moment. But I did it. And as I began to seek him, he began to speak. And in seeking him, I was faced with an opportunity to be obedient. And so as I stand here today, I want to share with you a little bit of this, what God's brought to me and what God is telling me in my life. And so I'll start with the thing that God has made clear to me that I have to do and have to obey. And today is a part of that, is it is time for me as a pastor to step down at Brevard Community Church. And you know, I knew today was not going to be, today would probably be the most difficult day I've ever had of speaking, but I knew it might be the most important day I ever had. And I don't do that lightly. I don't say what I just said, and I don't take it for granted. But I also say it with a lot of joy in my heart, because I truly believe that by doing this, by stepping out and sharing this with you today, I'm right in the middle of God's will. And as scary as it is, there's no other place I'd rather be. And so I know that there are probably a lot of questions in your mind, and there's a lot of why, and why does it make sense, and I'll do my best to explain that. But as we do this, please hear me say this, and I will bring this up again. But my prayer for today was that today, as much as it was going to be about me, would not be about me. Because this isn't, oh, Brad's so amazing, Brad's so brave. No, he's not. He's human, and he's weak, and he's terrified. But he's trusting God with all he has, and that's all I know to do. But I know you may have some questions, and so some of those questions may be, well, are you okay? Is everything okay in your family? And the answer is yes, we're doing great. It's really been God's blessing how incredible things have been in our family, and just that when we said yes to this decision, this unbelievable amount of peace came over our family. And God has really protected us from all the what-ifs and the fears and all that's going to come with this journey. And so, yes, we're doing great. You may ask, well, is there something you've done, or is there sin? And there's not. And gosh, let me tell you, I don't say that lightly either, because none of us are above making mistakes. But I'm so thankful that I can stand here leaving Brevard Community Church as a pastor, not because of a mistake I made or a choice I made. I can go because this is what God's told me to do. And you say, well, are you burnt out? Are you just exhausted? Are you done with church or God? And no, I'm not. I love this church. It breaks my heart to step away. Breaks my heart. I love these kids. And I love each one of y'all. But I can say that as difficult as it is to go, the things between me and God, where I'm at with God, is unbelievable. And listen, this isn't on my part. He has over, every night I go to bed and I just say, God, thank you for even letting me be a part of this journey. Thank you for just, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve to be used. I don't deserve for you even to speak to me, God. And so I am so humbled and thankful that I am at this place where I'm experiencing God in a way I never have. Now, it's not what I thought it would be. Henry Blackaby didn't warn you about this, I'll tell you that. Some of y'all didn't get that. It's all right. But I would like to take just a moment to kind of share with you how I got to this place and where I'm headed from here. Because I do see this as my family. I see the people I work with. I see these kids. I see each one of y'all as a part of my family. And so I want to share with you how God brought me to this place and where God's taking me, and just ask for your prayers and just encouragement. But this journey kind of starts a year ago. This started, around November of last year. And it honestly started with nothing more than just a restlessness in my heart. Just going, God, what are you doing? Like, I don't know why, but something in the future doesn't feel right. And just sense that change is coming. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I didn't know what the change was. I just sensed something's going to change in my life, and I don't know what, why, or how. And so as I began to seek God, that feeling, that sense would never really go away. It would subside at times, but it would never disappear. And I just kept saying, okay, God, whatever you're doing there, just you make it clear. Well, in about June of this year, as I began to seek God and just praying, and God took this time of just saying, you know what? I'm going to take this sense of change. I'm going to make it real. And I don't know how to explain it. And if you've never heard God speak in your life, this won't make a lot of sense. Because, of course, like everyone says, it wasn't an audible voice. It was just this sense that you can't miss it. I don't know how to explain it. It's the sense that, okay, this is you, God. And what I began to sense him say was, it's time to go. And I said, where? What do you want me to do? What are you talking about? He says, it's time to go. And I said, all right. But I asked where. And he said, it's time to go. And so this was actually a very difficult place for me, because like all of us, when somebody tells us something, we want answers. We want direction. We want why. And for whatever reason, God said, I'm not giving you that. I'm telling you it's time to go. Well, last week I shared about how I had a place in my life where I got so consumed with God's will that I actually missed who God was. And that's this. That's this time. I just kept saying, but God, no. And I just was wrestling with him. I fought him. I thought, well, if Jacob can fight you, and you know, you're going to have to break my hip, God, because I'm not giving up. I'm going to get something out of you. And every time I went to him, and every time he said, it's time to go, and that's it. And I was frustrated. And I'm telling you, I felt like at times that I was absolutely losing my mind. I even thought, I wonder if I have like a brain tumor or something. Like, I wonder if I'm just losing my, like I'm just going crazy. And I'm not saying that as a joke. Like, I thought I might be losing it. And then that night, God woke me up and said, listen, what's more important, my will or who I am? And I said, who you are, God. And so it was that night I said, okay, God, you say it's time to go, let's go. You don't tell me where, fine, I'll go. And so that night in July, that's when I chose to be obedient. Now, that journey has taken some time, and that journey has not been an easy one, and it's come with a lot of trying to be wise and trying to figure out details. But from that moment, I felt like I was like Daniel, faced with an opportunity. Will you choose the results or will you choose obedience? And I'll be honest with you, if God would have told me it was time to go a year ago, I'd have said, not going to happen, not a chance. If God would have God spoke to me when I was wondering, and if God would have spoke to me and said, hey, I want you to leave, I'd have looked at him and said, you're crazy. This is the only thing I know how to do. I don't know how to do anything else but this. The job I have now is what I've wanted to do since I was 15 years old. I went to school for this. This is what I've put all my heart and energy into. God, I'm not doing it. But in seeking him and realizing how just incredible he is and how much I truly need him, Because there's a difference in, like I said last week, there's a difference in actually knowing it and then really believing it. And when you believe it, you're humbled by it. You're crushed by it. And you go, God, it doesn't matter if I get it because I can't do it without you. And so a year ago, no, I couldn't stand here and do what I'm doing today. But because I know my need for him in a way I've never had before, I'm willing to stand here going, I'll go, God, without the details, without the what, the why, I'll go. And so with a really broken, sad, but excited heart, I stand here and say that October 11th will be my last Sunday, and it will be a difficult day. We don't plan to leave the church. We're trying to be really slow in this process because I don't know, maybe I'm the only one like this in the room, but when I'm faced with uncertainty, I like to then fill in all the blanks. And there's many times that I've tried to do that. And I'll tell you, there was a time sitting right back here in church during the Sunday that we did communion, which was one of the most powerful moments in my life. God just put his arm around me, but also gently kind of slapped my hand and said, listen, Brad, it's mine, not yours. I've told you to go. I haven't told you anything else. And so because of that, that's what me and my family are doing. We're going because he's told us, but we're trying to do nothing else until he tells us. And so till he tells us, we'll be here. But I know you're probably thinking, well, what are you going to do? Like be a stay-at-home dad? Like, and that would be a disaster. That would be so bad. But, well, I'll tell you, when this came, when I got to this place where I said, okay, God, I'll be obedient no matter, what I began to pray was not tell me the answers, but what I began to pray was this, was God, if you want me to obey you, give me the ability to obey you. Because I knew that God wanted me to be wise. Like, this is sometimes where we get caught up in the motions and we just start doing things, but he still gave us the ability to be wise. And so I knew that my decision still needed to be wrapped in wisdom. And I still needed to provide for my family. I still needed to do things, you know, take care of us. So I said, God, if you want me to obey, just make it possible. And so he did. And it wasn't what I would have chose. It wasn't what I even know how to do. But he said, for the next little bit, you're going to do construction. Okay, insert laughter. All right. You're going to do construction. And so for the next however long, and I have asked God to constantly remind me and not get caught up in the what and just enjoy the moment. And so however that long that is, I'm excited to do it and learn it and come away with a finger less or two. But I've chosen to say, okay, God, I'm going to do it. So I'm going to work with Ryan Jocks, and he's going to be patient with me and show me a lot of grace and teach me things, and we'll see how it goes. And I'm sure I'll have plenty of stories to tell. But that's our story, and that's our journey. And I am incredibly excited. I get a little nervous, get a little scared when I look up or look away from who God is. But when I focus on him, he reminds me, I got this. I didn't bring you here to leave you. And so I'll take care of you. And so as we end, there's two things I would love to ask of you. And I'll ask this of you because I know you'll do it and I know you love me. And so this is your gift to me. Number one would be that I know this is going to be something you want to talk about today. And listen, I have made it very clear to anyone that I've shared, because we have shared this through the journey to getting here. We shared it with some families and kids last night, and that was incredibly difficult. But I've made it very clear, this isn't a secret. This isn't something that we're ashamed of or trying to hide, but it is something we want to handle well. And so I would ask of you that until second service is over, so I'm not long-winded today, so 12 o'clock we should be good. So at 12 o'clock, you could tell everyone in the world that you want to tell. You could tell any mother, granddaughter, whoever you want. But I would ask until second service, give me the privilege of sharing with those that will be here in second service. Because as much as I love you and you mean, you know, we mean to each other, they do too. And I want that privilege of being able to share it with them and not them hear it from you in the parking lot. So if you don't, I'm not going to come up and find you and slap you. But maybe I will. I don't know. But I would ask that of you, and I would appreciate that. And here's the second thing, and I already said it, and I mean this. And this isn't just something I say because I'm a pastor for a couple more weeks. I say this. don't leave here making today about me. Because today is not about Brad Snipes. Today's about Jesus Christ. And I mean that. I mean that more than I ever have meant before. And I believe, and this is why it was so important to me to speak today and speak it in a message, because I didn't want today just to be this, oh, we're sad or oh, we're heartbroken. I wanted you to hear that this isn't me just needing an adventure. This isn't me just wanting something new to do. This is me seeking God. And when you seek God, you will be faced with opportunities to obey God. And I believe that there are others in this room that God is trying to speak to you. And he may be using me to do it today. And if you just make today about me, I believe the devil wins. Because God wants my story not to be about me, but to be about him and what happens when you obey him. And listen, I don't think many of you are going to quit your job and come join construction with me. I don't. But I do believe that there are some of you that maybe right now are openly disobeying God because he's told you to do something and you just don't want to do it. And he's saying, listen, if that guy can, anybody can. Or there may be some of you that something's coming and he's preparing your heart and your mind for it. And so the question I want to end with, and I'll pray and then Todd's going to come up, is this: what area in your life is God wanting to be enough in? What area in your life is God saying, listen, you love me, but you don't trust me? Today, God wants you to know he's more than enough. And without him, no matter if any of you get to keep what you don't want to lose, it won't satisfy you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for today. I am so grateful for who you are. Thank you for giving me the ability and courage and strength just to get through today. God, I don't deserve you. I don't deserve to be used by you or to be even part of your plan. And so I just say thank you today. And God, right now, I just say that if there's someone in this room that is running from you, that is hiding from you, that is trying to not obey you, God, today, allow my story to make them so uncomfortable that they can't keep running and hiding from you. Make yourself real to each man and woman in this room today. In your name, amen.
So, part of the journey, Brad's going to stay up here with us, and part of the journey is this powerful story of watching, seeking God, and the results. We've been on this journey for a couple months, haven't we? And saddens me. It's family. We really love each other, don't we?
Yeah.
So we're sad by it. I tell you what, that's not sad from sorrow. That's sad from joy to watch God's move. And here's what I want to end with today. It's not about Brad, even though it is. October 11th, keep your ears open, eyes open. We're going to do a special day, probably 2 o'clock. We'll put the details together. Time the whole church can come in and hang out and celebrate him and his family. So October 11th, that afternoon, watch for that. We'll work all those details out. But right now, I want to ask you to do this. We're going to sing a little bit of this last song. And I want to tie this thing up, as Brad has done so beautifully. If you're here today and you just need prayer, maybe something that God's just really stretching you on, something that you just need somebody to hear. Brad don't want it to be a time to come and just run to him and do that in the back. But this is about Jesus Christ. So if you're here today and just need to pray, I'm going to ask Brent to be up here. Brad's going to be down here. I'll be down here. Shannon will be over here. If you got a lady that wants to come down too. If you just want to come in, let us pray with you. We'll do it. Why? Because you matter. Because why? The greatest place in all the world is not in a place that's comfortable. The greatest place in all the world is in the center of the presence of God. Great thing about Daniel, when he went into the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you see it again. What happened? when three there in the fire, even there were four. And the grace of that was the fourth. You're never alone. May you pray our salvation. Come talk to us. Brad's going to lead us. We're going to worship. We're going to celebrate. This is not a down day. It's a down day if he was doing this out of God's will. This is a glorious day because he's right in the center of God's will. But how about you? So let's sing. Let's stand. Let's celebrate. Come pray with us, and I'll pray us out of here. Celebrate his power, celebrate his glory, celebrate who he is. He is worthy, right? Brad doing construction is a scary thing. But a scarier thing is this: Brad not doing construction. Why? What else is there than Jesus Christ, people? What else? I just want to take a moment and go back into that song. Let's just celebrate. I want you to sing it from this deal, not the message. I want you to sing it from this deal. Do I really believe that? Is that truly my heart of obedience? God, whatever you'll do, I'll do it. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to repent of, I'll repent of. Lord, anything. Lord, I need you. Amen? I need you. And stop setting your goals too low for the power of who God is. He'll use you for his glory. So let's just do that in a moment, then I'll pray for us. One more time. Celebrate.
Crowned in glory. Crowned in glory to glory. Worthy is the Lord of all the glory forever. Holy is the Lord. Crowned in glory to glory. Worthy Lord, of all the glory forever. Holy is the Lord. Every voice crowned in glory to glory. Worthy is the Lord of all the glory forever.
Brad, you can come up here just for a second. We'll pray for you. Brad will be in the back. His family will be here next couple of weeks. He's not going to do nothing. She got all kind of time. Take him out to dinner, lunch. Not going to work. Take it easy. We love you, Brad. Glad you're leaving. Because the Lord told you to. But we're family. Let's pray. God, you're worthy. Thank you for a man to be obedient no matter what. So now take his obedience. And God, may you be lifted high. Lord, may you show yourself to him, to Brooke, the girls, in such a way that this city, this state, this nation, this world sees you. And Lord, may we as family pray, support, live in such a way that we'll do just like him. Follow you no matter the results. Trust you with them. And God, the only thing we need is your presence. As long as you're there, it's okay. So Lord, take us from this worship with a sad eye but a full heart of joy. Because we have been in your presence today. Confession of sin and obedience has taken place, and Lord Jesus Christ has been proclaimed. May we leave here with the very truth and confidence that God, you're there. We love you. Love Brad. Anoint him and use him for your glory. Your glory. And Lord, help us before our community church to fill in the gaps. By people stepping into the place they need to serve so that we can continue to raise up godly students to do what Brad has just done. We love you. You're worthy in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.